Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word now? Turn to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea is always the first book after Daniel. Amen. A lot of people always know where the major prophets are. They can name those in order many times. But then when you get those minor prophets, it's like they're just all scrambled up together, you know, and you sort through them until you finally find the one you want. Hosea is the first one. Amen. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, this is God saying this. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt not be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget thy children." God here basically says, what you don't know can destroy you. Amen. And if you reject what I'm giving you to know, then it's going to carry on generationally. Oh my, I don't want to reject the knowledge God is bringing. But I know if I can embrace the knowledge God is bringing, then it will not only save me and my generation, but it can carry down to my generations in the form of blessing as well. Amen. And I found out I don't like destruction in my life. Amen. So it's important we gain scriptural, spiritual, doctrinal knowledge on how to walk above the curse, how to walk above destruction. Amen. That is my primary responsibility as a teacher, as a pastor of this church, is to impart understanding of the Word to cause the people of this church, the people that come in, to rise up in higher levels of walking in victory and covenant with God. Amen. We actually are told in Scripture that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We're told in Scripture that He gives His angel charge over us. We can have long life and peace. It's amazing how the church comes up with their own doctrines. I mean, the Scripture says you can live 120 years. There is not a verse in Scripture that says you never know when your number's up. But that is the standard statement of many Christians who believe they could drop dead at any time. Amen. And so what that is that is not just a statement of lack of knowledge. That's a statement of downright intentional ignorance. Amen. And so tonight, we've been on the topic of righteousness on Thursday nights for some time. And we're going to continue in that, but we're going to specifically look at how we've been healed through a righteous impartation of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've had several people in this church hit sickness. I've been having to battle through some symptoms this week myself. And I don't like symptoms of sickness. Amen. I don't like getting up here, my voice being scratchy. But I tell you what, I'm not quitting. Amen. We are ordained in these end times to win. Now, I made the statement about a week ago that this year is starting a release, a birthing of a time where God's outpouring of His love is going to become so strong that faith will become almost automatic. That will be easy to receive of increase, easy to receive of healing. Amen. So what's the devil want to do right off? He wants to try to make us think it doesn't work. Amen. You may have gotten hit with flu symptoms. You may have gotten hit with other sickness symptoms. And of course, the first thing the enemy wants to do is come and tell you, well, you blew it, you failed, you were defeated. No, you weren't defeated unless you quit trying to be healed. It's been now 21, 22 years ago was the first time I confronted the flu by faith. I've been hearing Apostle Callan, Pastor Callan at the time, preach on healing and how you can walk out your healing by faith. And I got hit with the flu, and I've never had the flu that bad in my life. I fought it for 5 days. My temperature went to 106. I laid on the bed at our house in Lexington, fell back, and the room was just spinning. This was like the fourth day or whatever, just spinning. And the devil, you know, screaming, "I'm going to kill you, all this stuff. You better call an ambulance, better get to the doctor." I said, "I'm not calling an ambulance. I've been learning I'm healed. And I'd get back up, and 5 days it broke. Amen. I tell you what, I believe the devil came at me of vengeance to try to quit me from believing in divine healing. Amen. The next time flu came, and of course the devil tried to say, well, you lost, you were defeated, it didn't work. I said, no, I'm healed. Amen. It might take me 5 days to get a hold of it, but I'm healed right now. Now listen, if you have to go to the doctor, if you have to get pumped with antibiotics, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. But where we're going in these end times, you're going to know how to use your faith for God's supernatural protection and supply. And so learn how to use the word now for God's blessing so that later it'll be easier. Even easy. Amen. Learn how to access it now and never, never give up. Because what the enemy's trying to do with this flu assault is get people to believe that they're not really in faith. Their faith doesn't work, and say, don't even try anymore. Amen. I may get in trouble with this story, but I'm used to it. I bought a golf membership, family membership at the par 3 golf course for my family some 10 years or so ago. And I said, we're going to go learn to golf. I mean, I stretched myself just paying for this thing. But I said, you know, we need to get out to get together. Girls were, you know, still in high school, junior high, middle school, whatever, you know. Let's go golf. So we load up. Of course, they had to have a cart on a par 3. A little par 3. Amen. I mean, it's a little bit bigger than a putt-putt, but we had to have a cart. And when I realized how much we were going to chase balls, I realized we did need the cart. And so we get out there, and Patty's a natural athlete. I mean, she's a natural athlete until it came to golf. And then it sputter off, and she go hit it again. We didn't make it through the first hole. She said, I hate golf. I'm never doing this again. My girl's having the same result. Like, I hate this. I'll never take down. Why did you join the family for this? I'm not doing it. Never. I don't know if I ever got them to go again. A year prepaid. They never went again, I don't think. Patty may have went out one more time. Amen. But she sat in the cart. You can golf. Golf kicked their backsides the first time. And they decided they didn't want to do that anymore. Now, there's no penalty spiritually for quitting golf. But there is a penalty spiritually for quitting the Word. Because without the Word, the only result is the curse. Not that God penalizes you, but without the Word, you have no shelter, no shield against the curse. And when you quit the Word, you have no alternative to experience destruction. Amen. And so the enemy is trying to get people. Right now in this church, we have several home right now fighting symptoms now. No condemnation. Amen. Faith is not a sword to cut each other up with. Amen. It's a weapon to take out the enemy with. And so, listen, you got to go to the doctor. You got to have pieces cut out. We'll be right there and pray you for you in accelerated healing. You follow me? Or you can develop your faith now so when the time comes, maybe they won't have to cut on you. Maybe the sickness can't even come on you, or the disability can't hit you. The truth is, what you want to do is make sure you're always going from faith to faith and glory to glory. That you're never stopping. The next time I got the flu, it lasted like 3 days. And it wasn't nearly as serious. Next time it lasted one day. All within, you know, probably the first year or two. And lasted one day, and I just confessed the same word, made the same faith, you know, movements, refused to lay down and give in to it. And the next time it came, it lasted an hour. Then it couldn't come. Amen. Now, I've been doing this now for 20 years, and I got hit with it at a low word time level some time back. And I got hit with it again this week at a low word time level. Been so busy doing stuff. Amen. Let my word time get low, and I get hit with symptoms. Well, Lord, I'm so sorry. I blew it. I didn't, you know, stay as filled up as I should have. Amen. You follow me on this. I want to let you know it's not the word that lets you fail. It's a failure of working the word or keeping yourself fueled by the word. And so, listen, I'm not bound down to it. You follow me? I never got, you can ask my wife, I never had bad symptoms. Amen. I just had scratchy throat and felt dizzier than a frog in a gas can. But was able to work. Amen. Robert and I worked outside all day yesterday. Worked out today. Unloading lawnmowers, riding lawnmowers last night, middle of the night, carrying stuff. I'm not bowing down to you, follow me? And it's broken. Are you following me? Temperature's normal. Voice a little scratchy, lips some congestion, but I'm healed. You follow me? I'm not bowing down to it. So you recognize, hey, I got hit, but I refuse to stop what I know brings victory. Here's the point. You got to maintain a winning attitude. You got to realize just because you have a setback doesn't mean you lost the war. You know, I'm trying to think of the best example. You know, the fight that comes to mind the most was, I believe it was back in 74. Ollie Foreman. 74? Was it later than that? Ollie Foreman. George Foreman. Foreman is a huge giant. And for seven rounds, Ollie sits on the ropes like this, getting a tar beat out of him. If you've ever seen the replays of it, he was getting beat to death, it looked like. All the announcers were saying, he needs to quit, he needs to give it up. Maybe they'll throw in the towel this ring. He's not even fighting, he's not even trying. And the whole time Ollie had a plan, he says, I'm just roping a dope. He called it rope-a-dope. He sat on the ropes for all those rounds until Foreman had punched himself out. And Ollie came out about three punches and knocked him out. It was over. It looked like he was losing the whole time. Listen, don't let the enemy make you think you're defeated. You got a storehouse of power in you. You got unlimited scripture. He's the one beating himself out of strength. Amen. He's the one with limited resources. And so, during this wave of assault, the intention of it is to make us think that we can't go into this glory. To make us think, how are we going to believe God for supernatural provision if we can't fight off a little sickness? How are we going to believe God for, you know, divine health if plagues hit? If we can't fight off, you know, a cough? You understand we're going from faith to faith. And as glory's poured out, faith gets easier and easier. This is just a wave that's hit the nation. Amen. Of assault. And when it targets us, there comes voices in with it, spiritual voices in with it, to say, well, you got sick. You're no different from the world. To make us think that we can't go into where we're supposed to go. Amen. Never bow down to symptoms. If you do get defeated in a faith battle, let's say in a battle for your health, and let's say you just couldn't take it anymore, you said, I'm going to the doctor, I've had it, and you feel like a total failure. Once you get over it, say, no, wait a minute. That's not the attitude I'm supposed to have. Next time, this won't happen. Next time, I'll be more full of the Word, more full of healing Scripture than ever before, and I'm coming out of this one on top. Refuse to be permanently defeated. Amen. Refuse for the enemy to have your bluff. Well, it's cold and flu season. I'm not going to the house this year. Amen. Refuse fear of sickness as well. Amen. Now, I am nowhere close to the message I want to bring tonight as far as getting there in the right fashion. But the point is, we've been talking about righteousness. Amen. And we've been talking about that according to Scripture, you are no longer a sinner if you've been born again. That you are now a saint. You've been recreated by incorruptible seed, rebirthed. And you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You were not who you used to be. You used to may have been a loser. You could have been a failure. You could have been the best, biggest mess up the world ever saw. Amen? Sometimes I felt like I had that, you know, title to myself. Maybe you did too. But once you got saved, God took out your heart of sin, which means He took out your heart of failure, your heart of loser, your heart of mess up, and put in you the incorruptible nature of God Himself. And made you a winner. Amen. And it is now our responsibility to take upon ourselves a winning attitude and refuse to lose to darkness. To refuse to quit, to refuse to get condemned. Amen. You know, movies I love. First of all, don't ever recommend to me a movie that the good guy loses. Don't even do it. I mean, you may need a spoiler alert, but I've seen many movies where the good guy lost. I don't want to see where the good football team loses. You know, you center the whole time on a football team, going to the championship, and they lose a championship. Nope. Wrong movie. I grew up with Westerns. The good guy's always got to win. The movie Real Steel. Did y'all see Real Steel about the fighting robots? I loved that movie. Till the end. I walked out and said, that blew the entire movie for me. It absolutely blew it. I hate that movie now. Because the good guy lost the championship fight. The good robot, you know. So you can set it up for the sequel. I won't go see the sequel, probably. Because you blew it with me first round. Rocky blew it with me losing the first fight. Are you following me? I don't need no sequel. You lost the first fight. Hallelujah. The first championship. But he fought a good fight, but he lost. Amen. I love it where it says, fight the good fight of faith. You know what a good fight of faith is? You win. I don't like my team to lose. Amen. But in the spirit, I hate to lose. A game, one thing, you can get frustrated, but in the spirit, you can't afford it. And the last thing you can do is afford to do is to quit. Because that is to reject knowledge. To quit is to reject the knowledge you're supposed to win. And to quit applying the word that gives you a promise of winning. Amen. And so, as being reformed in God's image, we were given a whole package of rights. Amen. We have the same rights to operate in all the power of God that Jesus had to operate, the rights He had when He was on the earth. Amen. And one of those areas we have a right to is divine healing and divine health. We have a right to walk free of the effects of sickness. But listen, sickness is in the world. It is not automatic. You must apply yourself and apply the word to your life to see the results of healing manifest. Amen. And righteousness becomes a key facet to access that healing power. Now, understand, according to the word and really per the word, there are two main ways you can receive healing. Two main paths you can access healing. First is by the gifts of the Spirit. I'll give a prayer opportunity here in a few minutes and pray for people for healing. Amen. And you can come up and have no faith whatsoever. I've even called people out of the service and, and, and spoke healing over them, and them get healed and have no faith whatsoever, not even be saved. No covenant right to it, but out of the mercy of God, the gift flows and people get healed. You follow me? That's a free gift. The problem is if you're dependent upon a gift for your healing, you never know when the gift's going to move. So many people that are in desperate health situations flock to Benny Hinn conferences. I've been to several Benny Hinn meetings. Amen? 20,000 people, you know, in the auditoriums. 10, 15, 20,000 people. And he's got 2 hours. Thereabouts, you know, however long goes he's on stage, if that long. And he calls people out. I've not been to one yet where Benny Hinn says, everybody here be healed. Anybody been to one like that? And the power of God hit and everybody's healed. But I see him operate by the word of knowledge and say, there's somebody here that you got 3 days to live. Amen. And you're here at your last chance. Come down here and get healed. Amen. See him call people out and point them out in the auditorium and say, you're the one. 20,000 people, you're the one. Get down and healed. Amen. I believe in that gift. But you're in a convention center with 20,000 people. You don't know you're going to be called. And if you got 3 days to live, you don't have enough days to go to enough conferences to lower the odds that it's in your favor. Yeah, I got 3 weeks to live. I've scheduled. I'll be Benny Hinn and Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland. None of them may call your name. But the second path is the path of being healed by faith. By grabbing a hold of the promise of God regarding healing, exercising the law of faith. Faith is a law. The law of faith in what God has promised and receiving personally, amen, forcefully, a guaranteed promise of healing in your life. No matter what the enemy hits you with, you can walk and rise above it. Amen. The promise of divine healing and divine health. And so, it is important to learn how to operate in faith for healing. You know, we've had so much of the church after the gifts, and praise God for the gift. I've sought God for the gift of healing, gifts of healings and miracles, you know, all of my Christian walk. And function in them. Are you following me? But I want to know when there's a need in my life, I'm not dependent upon somebody's gift functioning. I want to know I can access it for myself when I need it. Amen. And even get to the point that I'm walking in such divine health, such positive spiritual momentum in healing that sickness can't even stick to my body. We've all heard the story of Evan Roberts was treating all these people that had the bubonic plague back in like the 1920s or whatever. And they kept asking him, how come you're not getting sick? And you're around all these people with the plague. He says, it can't live on my body. They took some of the foam off of a guy that just died off of his mouth, put it on the microscope. It was live with bubonic plague. They put it on his arm, put it back in a slide, put it on the microscope, and it was all dead. It could not live under the anointing. And guess what? He kept his faith activated for healing. Amen. If we experience symptoms, we've been healed and we experience symptoms and they hit us, I believe it's because we let our momentum diminish. Get busy doing instead of charging. And sometimes it may have been, you know, that you felt needs required. That's like I get busy doing stuff because there's so many people calling for needs, demands, requirements. Amen. And then you wrong prioritize the time you do have. And next thing you know, here comes a symptom. You say, wait a minute. God, that is on me. Amen. Let's get back with the plan. In Jesus' name, by your stripes, I'm healed. You confess the word, you get in the word, you charge up, you keep praying in tongues, and you get where it doesn't happen next time. Amen. Are you following me? So, I know you guys thought I was perfect, but hear my voice sound scratchy a little bit. Amen. And so, cast down that image of perfection. I am righteous. Hallelujah. And ride a Harley. What more do you need? The point is these things can hit anybody that do not maintain positive spiritual momentum. Amen. So where we're going as a church in the end times is important. We know how to access this divine healing. It's important we know how to live above sickness and disease. How to get victory over every type of it. Amen. Every type of attack. Because I believe as the glory is poured out more and more, curse is going to manifest as well. And I want to be on the right side of the manifestation. I want to be on God's blessing side of manifestation. Hallelujah. And as I said, if we will just be, how can I say, disciplined or faithful to bring in word, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to go to church, stay in the anointing, you know, as you can, God will take care of the rest. He's not looking for perfect, you know, you can't even, you know, go to the restroom without praying in tongues back and forth all the way. You know, he's not looking for that kind of perfection. He's just looking for consistency. Amen. The glory will do the rest. Once the glory hits it, once the love of God's poured out, if you've got word in you, it's going to come out in faith. Amen. So the important thing is not to quit in the assaults that hit before the glory manifests. If you follow what I'm talking about, as we go from faith to faith and glory, more and more love is poured out, this thing gets easier. In fact, we finally go up the mountain till we get above that snake line. Remember the snake line? That's the elevation on the mountain the snake can't live above. The climatic conditions are not conducive for reptilian life. Amen. No snakes. And so I believe we're going up the mountain to that level. Hallelujah. Won't have to mess with, be concerned with Mr. Pointed Tail. He'll be down in the valley with all the heathen. Amen. And hopefully they're coming up the mountain after us, you know, to join us, as the word says. And so it's important we learn to live and function by faith. Faith gives us a guaranteed process by which we can receive the blessing of God, including healing. Do you follow me? I want to know if something hits me, I have a guarantee. If I'll do what the word says, if I'll follow God's principles of receiving blessing, I've got to know I've got a guaranteed result. You know, it's amazing how God will come on you to in times of major need. That time my back was blown out, and I sat on the couch 3 days, jumping up every hour or so, stomping around, I'm healed when I felt like I was going to die. The devil's saying, you're about to paralyze yourself. You got fractures in there, bone splinters about to paralyze you. You know, you'll be dead by morning, all this stuff. And your wife doesn't care anyway. All these things, you know. Chewing you out for lifting a big screen TV, I tell you what. And I'm jumping up in Jesus' name, I'm healed. And it felt like every cell in my body ruptured from the pain for 3 days. I wouldn't have done that if I thought I might have been healed. I'm not doing that to my body if I thought maybe there's a chance. I'm doing that because the word says I have a guaranteed process by which to be healed. Do you follow me? And after 3 days, I jumped up, hit the ground, had a brand new back. Praise God. It's a guaranteed process. And so, to access something by faith, I want to go through 4 steps of this process. The first three we're going to go through fairly quickly. The fourth one we'll spend the rest of the night on. Amen. Step number one, you must believe you're going to receive healing from God. You must believe God's the healer. Now, hopefully you guys have spent enough time in Scripture to find out Jesus healed everywhere He went. Amen. You never find a single situation Jesus put sickness on anybody. The Scriptures say He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So He's got a prayer line. He's never saying, you three be healed, you six, you get... God's mad at you. You take sickness. Amen. He healed them all. Not to say there's not a time people rise up from God and the prophet doesn't say, hey, go blind for a season. You follow me? Or like Peter did. This I believe it's going to happen these end times as people continue to try to mock God. as the Bill Maher's and others continue to make movies mocking Christianity. Is that how you say his name? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Mocking Christianity. There are going to be situations people drop dead. Like with Peter and Ananias and Sapphira. Maybe not in the world, but in the church. They start lying in the church. Pretending to be in revival. I believe we're going to see this happen. I really believe we're going to see this happen a few times until it becomes public. That people are going to try to go to healing crusades and claim they have a disability to mock the things of God. Because this happened in the past. To jump up and say they have this disability, to fake the whole thing as a mockery and end up leaving with that disability. That's rose up in me several times before. That's going to happen. Because this mocking of the things of God is really coming to a fullness, and it will not work in the glory. Amen. So somebody comes up and says, hey, they can't walk. They come in to mock the things of God. They'll leave needing that wheelchair. Amen. Come in saying they have 3 days to live. And they leave having 3 days to live. Dangerous things to mess with the glory. Amen. And so we've got to believe that Jesus is the healer, though. That's his primary assignment. We never see Jesus put sickness on anyone. And everywhere he went, it says he healed them all. He healed many. Amen. He healed all that came to him. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood for all those years presses through the crowd, confessing, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Touch him, and she receives that virtue to heal her. He's a healing God. So we've already determined Jesus is the healer. Step number two, to have a guaranteed process by which to receive healing, is you must believe that God wants you healed of everything, every time, all the time. Amen. The scriptures talk about when Israel came out of Egypt, that God healed the entire nation. There was not a feeble one among them. Amen. That if he healed an unredeemed nation, surely he wants you healed. It says in 3 John verse 2, you can turn there. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. John, I believe, was sharing with us the heart of God. That God wants us to be healed and to prosper. But he says it cannot happen beyond the level your soul is transformed or prospered. The level your soul is renewed by the Word of God. The level you gain understanding to allow you to escape destruction. Amen. So we come to church to renew our mind how to access the power of God to live above the curse. And here it says that above all things, we should prosper and be in health. So you can know that God wants you healed. See, when you come to God, step one is, I believe God's the healer. I believe Jesus is the healer. Step two, I believe he wants to heal me. It's hard to come to God for healing if you think God wants you sick. This mentality, this doctrine that God's putting sickness on people to teach them a lesson in the church is nonsense. Well, you know, I missed church last week and I could have went and I missed and now I'm sick. God believes God did this to me to teach me a lesson. Or I lost my temper with the wife last week and God gave me this disability here, teaching me humility. That's not God. Are you following me? Jesus went to the cross, invested everything to deliver us from sickness. But if you think God put sickness on you, amen, how are you going to come to him and receive healing?
Right.
I mean, if you believe God smote you, how do you come to God to have him remove the smote? How do you do that? Here's my other question. We've asked this one before, of course. If you believe God made you sick, why are you going to the doctor to try to get healed? You're trying to find a help. You're trying to find somebody to help you disobey God. Why are you taking medicines to try to get better? You're trying to go around the will of God for your life. Do you see the ridiculousness of this mindset, of this line of reasoning? God is not putting sickness on His people. He's not putting sickness on the world. The curse is in the world. People are in the world without a covering. They're going to experience sickness. Amen. They're violating spiritual principles that activate the curse. You're going to experience, destruction. God has elevated us above the curse if we'll receive it. He wants you healed. So we believe that Jesus is the healer, and then we believe God wants us healed. Step number three, you must believe that you have a guaranteed process of healing, a guaranteed process by which you receive the promises of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Here it says God's promises are yes and amen. In other words, they're guaranteed. And it says their intention is for us to, by the promises, glorify God. Did you follow that? The promises are there that we can manifest the blessing of God and escape the curse, and so, in so doing, bring glory to God's kingdom, to His Word. Hallelujah. And so, we have a law of faith that if we learn how this law works, we can activate faith and step into God's healing promise. We don't have time to teach on it tonight, but I have a series available called The 7 P's of the Kingdom. Amen? The 7 P's. And the 7 P's represent 7 steps that all start with P to bring you guaranteed kingdom results. Amen? God revealed that to me a few years back, and I use it all the time today as my set of steps to receive from God. And basically it just puts faith in a step-by-step order to understand how it really operates in a logical fashion, because God is a logical God. He is a predictable, logical God who created out of His realm a logical, predictable system. Amen. The kingdom of God is not flaky or wishy-washy. It's repeatable, predictable, and reliable. Amen. More so than this earthly realm would ever be. And so, but we just got to learn how the spirit realm operates to access His power and blessing. So I recommend you get that series if you've not heard it or don't have it, on the 7 P's of the kingdom. And it will let you know how to go into all that God has. And so, and it lets you know you have a guaranteed process to receive the blessing of God. You must believe that faith guarantees you results. I believe if we do what the Word says, I believe if we do what the Word says, we will see Word results. God is not like Lucy in Peanuts in football season, where she keeps telling Charlie Brown, "Kick the football, I'll hold it." Remember this? Some of the kids are going like, "Who's Peanuts?" Snoopy. She'd hold the football every year. Did this every year. She'd hold the football, say, "Charlie Brown, kick the ball." She'd done it for 47 straight years. You wonder why Charlie Brown is still 8 years old. And he'd say, "No, you always lied to me. You always move the football, and I always fall." She's, "No, I'm telling the truth this time." Here he'd come and go to kick. She'd pick it up again. He'd fall on his back again. Good grief, you know. And she'd say, "Charlie Brown, you're such a sucker." Some people think that's how God is. Come on, just try this faith thing. God said, oh, just come on, speak the word. Oh, come on, go to church. Come on, sow that big seed. Come on, just tithe. I'll bless you. Just and then when you do all that and it comes time for your need, God said, I just seen if you do it. Sucker! God's a God of love and faithfulness. If he said these things activate my kingdom blessing, he was telling us how to activate his kingdom blessing. The problem is we always want to say, is there another way? Amen. We always want a way that seems more logical than to the natural system mind, the worldly mind. Amen. We want a way that doesn't stretch us, you know, in our giving or stepping out in faith or, you know, acting on the word versus the symptoms. We want a way that we can do it our way and get God's results. See, you can't get God results doing everything the way you always did it where you got worldly results. Amen. So if in the past when you accessed your healing by pumping up on Tylenol and cough syrup and you know, antibiotics and heating blankets and, you know, and chicken soup and people waiting on your hand and foot and all this, and that's how you did it in the past, that's probably not going to get divine healing in the future. You follow me? Oh, and watching, you know, just watching the movies all day. Well, I'm just resting my body. Well, there's a time to rest. That's fine. You follow me? But while you're resting, put on something that's going to build your spirit man up. Put on, you know, you're already sick. Feed your spirit with something that's going to fuel it to come out of the sickness. If you're too sick to read the word, put on a CD. Amen. Come out of it by the Spirit versus just natural means. And listen, if your symptoms are such that you can't get up and do, you know, normal things, take care of yourself, you follow me, and do what you can above what sickness would normally dictate when you can, speak the word and fuel yourself. Amen. You can't get to divine health by natural action. If you follow what I'm saying, naturally birth, worldly birth action. It's going to have to be through exercising yourself spiritually, through applying yourself to spiritual principles. Amen. Which we have many series back there on this. I did a series here, a preach-a-thon with Pastor Callahan, Apostle Callahan here 2 years ago, year and a half ago. We preached all day on Saturday, 6 hours, on divine healing and health. Amen. We have that series back there as well. There's plenty of messages. And so, step one again, you must believe Jesus is the healer. Step two, you must believe that God wants you healed. Step three, you must believe that you have a guaranteed process by which you can receive healing. You got to believe it's guaranteed. Amen. You know, if I come to you and say, hey, let me find who I can pick on. Greta. And you don't know if I'm reliable or not, but say I'm somebody, you know I would never lie to you, right? Thank you for that. And I came and said, Greta, I need $200. And if you give me $200, I may pay you back tomorrow. Now, she'd probably give it to me anyway, you follow me? Assuming she had it. But some stranger or somebody she barely knows comes and says, hey, give me $200. I may give you $200 back tomorrow. Or even I may give you $500 back tomorrow. She's probably not going to do it. She's going to say, what do you mean you may give it back to me? I need a guarantee in writing, notarized, you know, your mother's maiden name, the whole works, before we do this operation. She wants a guarantee of before she's going to invest in it. There's all these hoaxes out there now on email, you know, on the internet. You have just inherited $25 million. If you will send us $500 to set up the account, we will forward the full $25 million into your name in the next, 10 days. And people go, I know it sounds like a hoax, but I only have to invest $500 for $25 million. What an opportunity. Like somehow the bigger the number is, it increases the opportunity, That's what, P.T. Barnum said. There's a sucker born every minute. And so I got to have a guarantee if I'm going to loan somebody that kind of money. You follow me? Well, when God starts moving in you to step out in faith for healing or prosperity, He's going to tell you to do stuff that you don't want to do. He may say, sow that for your healing. Amen. I've had him tell me to sow stuff for relationships. Amen. God may say, hey, you got that bad back? Jump up. There was a pastor we had in Carrollton. He's gone to be with the Lord now. This has been several years back. And he met up with us because he was invited to a revival meeting in Bedford, Kentucky, that Pastor Philip was invited to do. And Pastor Philip gets up. This has been 94, something like that, I guess. I'm 95. He goes and does his revival meeting. He's starting out his launch to go out and all this stuff. And he starts preaching, miracle faith. And the pastor, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. Who is that pastor from Carrollton? Ronnie. Pastor Ronnie, yeah. Pastor Ronnie had broke his leg that day. Broke it. Right before the meeting. And he was on his way to the hospital. And God says, hey, I'm going to this miracle meeting tonight. And you want to go? And he says, well, I'm about to go to the hospital. And he realized, hey, it's a miracle meeting. I can go to that. Because he was, he was a revivalist pastor. And he went to it. And of course, his leg is just screaming. He knew it was broken. And he's sitting there, and they're praising God and all this stuff. And during the middle of it, the Lord says, do you believe you healed? He says, yes, Lord, I believe you're the healer. And then jump to your feet. Is there anybody else up there? Are you following me? But he knew he heard God. He knew how to hear the voice of God. And he said, okay, God, I believe you. He jumped up, came down, and his leg was totally healed. Broken leg. Pastor Philip time broke his ankle. God told him to run on it. He started doing this. And God said, run. He just made himself put his weight on it. Took through two or three steps. Pow, totally healed. You got to believe you have a guaranteed process. Amen. Because God may ask you to do something radical. Like get out of bed. Amen. Put on preaching videos. Hallelujah. Go to church. Go to work. Clean the house. Amen. Whatever it might be that you're going to say, no sickness, you are not keeping me down. The Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee. One of the ways you resist the devil's symptoms are you resist the symptoms. You follow? In other words, one of the ways you resist sickness sent from the devil is to resist the symptoms of that sickness. You say, you'll not keep me down. You work, you get up and say, I'm healed, and you work until that thing breaks. Or you can lay in bed for a week and nurse that thing and see no supernatural manifestation. Amen. The thing is, once you get victory over sickness, it gets so much easier to walk in victory next time. Amen. It just cannot get you down. Praise the Lord. So that's the first three steps as I have 10 minutes left. Patty hadn't chewed up all my time with them stories. Step number four. You must believe all the requirements for your healing have been met. So many people are trying to work their way to healing. Well, I can just pray long enough, confess enough scripture, amen, if I can just, you know, watch enough videos, they think if they'll do enough works, they can receive healing. In the opposite fashion, the enemy always tells you all the things you did wrong that weren't spiritual enough to tell you why you can't get healed. Has anybody beside me ever had symptoms hit you and the devil says it's because, you know, you blew it here with God? That's his number one ploy. And you got to believe that through the sacrifice of the blood of Christ, the price was paid that you don't have to work your way to God. You don't have to work your way for his blessing. You freely receive the promise of God. Now, to position yourself to be able to freely receive, you've got to work the word into you until you believe it. Amen. And the way you know, let me restate that. The step necessary to understand all the requirements for your healing have been met is to develop the understanding that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you follow me? You know, somebody that comes to this nation in the past, not being a citizen, was not eligible to vote. That's somewhat up in the air nowadays. Amen. But if you came to this nation, but you did not become a citizen, may have been here for 20 years, but you never became a citizen, you were not eligible legally to vote. Amen. At least today, this message could be obsolete any week. Amen. But once you go through the required steps of citizenship, which should include learning the English language, amen, learning our Constitution, at least the foundations of it, once you have taken the right tests, sworn the oath of allegiance to the United States, and you become a citizen, you are now eligible to vote. Do you follow me? You are eligible, you know, to do many things now as a citizen of the United States. Get a passport. Yeah, pay taxes. Amen. Potentially vote for the wrong person. The point is now that you become a citizen and it's your time to go to the polls to vote the first time, you get there and you're saying, now what do I need to be, you know, to be qualified to vote? And they say, well, you're already registered, you're a citizen, you're qualified. Yeah, but what else do I need to do to be qualified to vote? Well, you're qualified, you're a citizen. Are you following me? You've already done the paperwork, you've done all the steps, you're eligible to vote. Go in and vote. But I don't feel like I've done enough to be able to vote right now. What else do I have to do to be able to vote? Are you following what I'm trying to get at? You're a citizen. It's the same way with our Christianity having a right to healing. What do I need to do to earn healing? What do I need to do to deserve healing? It's already earned. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. When you got saved, you became a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, and now you have rights to every blessing of the kingdom. So one of the primary things you must understand when you come to God for this guaranteed process healing, you must realize all the requirements have already been met. There is nothing you have to do to earn any other level of favor with God that hasn't already been earned through the cross. Now, you will have to activate the healing by the confession of faith. You will have to resist the enemy through standing against the symptoms potentially, but that's not earning anything. That's laying hold of what is yours. Amen. You know, that's like when I go to, you know, to pay the employees at the shop. I go to pay Patty, and I've got her paycheck there. She doesn't say, well, what do I got to do to earn that? I said, it's already been earned. Are you following me? In fact, let's say Alma gave her, let's put the other, Patty gave Alma her paycheck. Just gave it to her. Alma said, what I got to do to earn that? I said, Patty already earned it for you. It's yours. Signed over to you. I don't know about it. I don't believe I feel worthy enough to receive it. It's given to you freely. Are you following me? Go spend it. Now, I'm telling you, it won't take me more than two or three times. She's going to be going, wow, like that, like, like a chicken on a June bug. Amen. Hallelujah. Pow. In the same way, your healings have been prepaid through Jesus. But understand, if she's going to spend it, she's still got to grab it and cash it. Well, when you go to get healing, it's already prepaid. You're already qualified. It's all been signed over to you. But you still have to say, I receive that now. And then stand against the symptoms. You know, act out your faith. Act on your faith as a form of cashing in on that blessing. And when you do that, watch the power of God take you through to victory. Well, I tried that. It didn't work. No, that's the problem. You tried it. Faith doesn't try. It doesn't say the just shall try faith. The just shall live by faith. You do it until it manifests. Somebody came to Kenneth Hagin one time and asked him, if I have the story right, how long do I have to believe for healing till it manifests? He said, as long as it takes. But he said, if you're willing to stand forever, he said, it won't take long. Amen. The devil will keep hitting you if he thinks there's an opportunity. You'll give up. But if he sees you're not going to quit, he's saying, why am I investing all this effort trying to hold on to this? I believe, to some level, it hurts the devil when he tries to put stuff on you and you resist it. Amen? It's kind of like I could use a sword. Well, let's use the sword. You got the sword of the Spirit. And he's putting symptoms on you. I'm going to pick on here. He's putting symptoms on you. And grab my arm. You're putting symptoms on me. He's trying to put symptoms on me. As long as I'm doing nothing, he's free. Probably, you know, passing stuff on to me, you know, all kinds of company. But if I resist him with the word and I stick him, it hurts him. But he thinks I may quit. In other words, I'm just trying it. He may put up with some pain on his own for victory in this thing to see if I'll quit. But if he finds out I'm not quitting, my jaw is set, I'm wiggling the sword around as I go, you follow me? He's going to say, enough of this. Why am I trying to put up with this pain and a defeated purpose? Now, I don't know how, you know, pressure is applied spiritually to demonic powers, but I know that it is. Amen? I know when you resist the devil, they scatter like flies. I told you about that guy was in here a week ago, right? That was acting up. Did y'all hear that? Remember that story? We had a guy in here a week ago. He was with a group that have started coming in. Some of them have company. Amen. And he was acting up. I'm in my office and they're sitting in my chair and he's looking in my window. Here comes a girl trying to pull him away from there. And next thing I hear him screaming out here, I'm not done. So this went on for a while. I said, well, I've had enough of this. Let's go see what's going on. So I walk out, and I just sit in the chair next to him, and he's mouthing all this stuff. And I said, ma'am, would you care if I prayed for him, basically? She said, I'd love for you to. I didn't get up out of my chair. I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, your power come on him right now and set him free from anything holding him back. He jumped up. Come around, hug me and say, I'm sorry. It didn't take 5 seconds. I'm sorry. Sorry, it was bad. I'm bad. I just grabbed him and I prayed the power of God hit him, set him free. Amen. Escorting him out to his car like he was just the most obedient child in the place. You know, grown man. Like a little puppy, you know. Whatever you say, let's go. Did not want the pressure of the sword of the Spirit applied to him, but would act up indefinitely as long as that was not being applied. You need to understand, when you speak the word, it hurts darkness. And you need to prove them. You'll keep up with it longer than they can keep up with it. Amen. And watch them run. Now listen, maybe we'll get to it next week. I have a whole list of scriptures that tie directly being born again or made righteous to the healing promise of God. God repeatedly connects those two together. Amen. That He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. He puts the two together as a package. When you were made righteous, God gave you a package that you can live in divine healing and divine health. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Stand your feet with me. Let's worship God here for a minute. See how He wants to continue with this.